Let's open our Bibles now in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We will read verses 31 through 36. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning verse 31 through 36. Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning the verse 31. This is the word of the living God, and he speaks to his church, saying, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we read your scripture, and we ask you, Lord, that may you can speak to us through the word of God. Please, God, through the works of the Holy Spirit, break the walls of our hearts and help us to bow down only to you as our only God and only Savior. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We will also read in our Forms and Prayers book, the Lord's Day 31, which is in page 235. We have three questions. I will read the question, and I invite you to answer. Lord's Day 31, page 235. Question 83 asks, "What are the keys of the kingdom?" The preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline toward repentance. Both of them open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. Question 84, "How does preaching the Holy Gospel open and close the kingdom of heaven?" Answer, "According to the command of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is open by proclaiming and publicly declaring to all believers, each and every one, that as often as they accept the gospel in true faith, God, because of Christ's merit, truly forgives all their sins. The kingdom of heaven is close, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to unbelievers and hypocrites that as long as they do not repent, the wrath of God in eternal condemnation rests on them. God's judgment, both in this life and in the life to come, is based on this gospel testimony." Question 85, "How is the kingdom of heaven closed and open by Christian discipline?" Answer, "According to the commands of Christ, those who through call Christians profess unchristian teachings or live unchristian lives, and who after repeated personal and loving admonitions refuse to abandon their errors and evil ways, and who after being reported to the church, that is, to those ordained by the church for that purpose, fail to respond also to the church's admonitions. Such persons the church excludes from the Christian community
by withholding the sacraments from them, and God also exclude them from the kingdom of Christ. Such persons, when promising and demonstrating genuine favor, and receive again as members of Christ and of His church.
Thank you. We are dealing with a very important subject in Lord's Day 31, which speaks about the preaching of the gospel and the Christian discipline. The verses that we read in John 3, they are one of the important verses that offer the doctrine for these standards in Lord's Day 31. And that's why we will cover John 3 to understand better what Heidelberg Catechism is teaching to the church. First of all, looking to John 3, we will see that here we have a discussion happening between John the Baptist and his disciples. They were lost because they saw John, John the Baptist, as someone who were bringing the law of God and who were speaking through God to the people of the covenant. But then they had a situation, because John never wanted to glorify himself, and actually he was always speaking and saying about someone else who would come, and he was teaching that the people of God should follow this man, not John the Baptist, not any other priest or guide, but only Jesus Christ. However, the people, the disciples of John the Baptist, they were confused because they were seeing many things from John the Baptist, but they were not believing in the works of Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist, he speaks about how he should decrease himself and make Jesus Christ increase to the church of Jesus Christ. He needs to be the center, and John the Baptist should disappear. This is a principle that should guide the church everywhere. In any place where Jesus Christ is not the center, is not appearing more than everyone else, there is a problem. Because the church belongs to him, and he's the only one who should be praised in a congregation of believers. So John the Baptist, he offers them some principles to guide them in their understand about Jesus Christ. He will speak first in verse 31 about the heavenly reality of Christ. Jesus, it's not from this world. He's not built, or he was not made in this world. His authority is based in the Council of Peace. He is God, as we read here tonight in the Athanasian Creed, not only man, but God and man. He's 100% God and 100% man, but his authority, it's the authority of God. He's not only a man for the church. He's the Lord of the church. And being the Lord of the church, his power and his wonders shows to the church that we should follow him in every step. Of course, this guides us to the second principle that John the Baptist is offering to his disciples, which is in verse 32, which says that the heavenly knowledge of Jesus Christ will guide the church. Jesus came to this world, And coming to this word, he offered knowledge for us. We say and we believe that the Word of God, it's the Word of Christ. He's speaking with us through the letters of the Scripture. He's guiding us. He's offering to the church everything we need. And that is why we must not only believe, but trust that everything we find here in the Scripture of Jesus Christ is true and faithful and perfect. That's why we stand for the truths of the Scripture, and that's why we will confess everything that the Scripture will say. But then, as the third principle, John the Baptist speaks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's everything that his disciples need. He knows that, and that is why he's speaking about the testimony of Jesus Christ, because he's saying that everything Jesus Christ is and everything that Jesus Christ is teaching makes God a truly God. But he's also saying that if we deny Jesus Christ, or if we deny his teachings, we are saying that God is lying, so he is not trustful, and we should not follow this God. Jesus, it's the center because of this, because if he is true, if he's truly God, we have everything we need. But if he's not truly God, we should find another thing to do besides follow him. But the truth of the gospel is that God sent his only begotten Son to this world to save sinners to God. And he made that 2,000 years ago. He went to the cross, he died, he paid the full price, and until today we are being saved by his blood and by his flesh. This is the truth of God, and this is the truth for humankind. But also, this is a standing point to every man in this world. This is crucial for every person in this world. Because Jesus Christ is not only the head of the church, but he is the only Savior of this world. Which means that in this world, there are two kinds of people. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and will find salvation, and those who reject Jesus Christ and they will not find salvation. And from this teaching is from what Heidelberg is bringing these keys, the keys that the preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline both are opening the doors of the kingdom of heaven and closing them to unbelievers. And we must understand that, and I hope we will understand that. Pay attention, God is the key. What that means, and what is the purpose of these verses here of John and also from Heidelberg. Here, we are understanding and we need to understand that God is guiding everyone to the reality that or we stand by the name of Jesus or we will reject everything he is and everything he can make. It's impossible to be in another situation. Or we are with Christ or we are against him. And this is, of course, what we need to understand what the kingdom of heaven means. The kingdom of heaven, it's not a place where we can see. Our eyes cannot reach heaven, and our eyes cannot understand what is spiritual, because There is no kingdom physically that could be seen by any of us. So we are speaking about spiritual things here. Things that we cannot understand because we are still living this world. But things that we can understand through someone else's eyes. And of course, these eyes are the eyes of Jesus Christ. He is speaking to his church, and he is speaking about salvation to his church. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ is teaching here, and John is talking to his disciple about that. It's the kingdom where those who believe in him, those who trust in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will join after believing. And the kingdom of the earth, it's the kingdom where everyone that rejects this same Jesus Christ is part of it. So there are two kingdoms, there are two realities, but these are not realities to the church here. This is speaking only about salvation. Let's look then to the key that opens this door to the kingdom of heaven. When we confess his name, this is what Heidelberg is saying, when we believe in everything that Jesus Christ made, when we look to him with faithfulness, and when we realize that he is our God and he is our Savior, we are being included in his body. This is what some are not understanding when we speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's interesting because today we don't have one gospel anymore, not in human literature. We have many gospels. A gospel for liberals, a gospel for reformers, a gospel for evangelicals, a gospel for many different kinds of people. But the truth is, there is only one gospel, and this gospel is in the scripture. It was wrote by the disciples of Jesus Christ, and it's very easy to identify the real gospel. If it's coming from the scripture, it's the gospel. If something else is added to this idea of gospel, this is knowledge of humankind, and we must reject. We don't need anyone's opinion. We don't need anyone's ideas. We only need the gospel to be saved. But then, we need to look to this idea of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we must understand that we should confess everything he is and everything he may, then we will be saved. When we look to him, we must confess things that our rationality will not understand. I believe, and I believe you believe, every Sunday you say you believe, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can we explain that rationally to someone in this world? I don't think it's possible. I don't know how a dead body can come back to life. I cannot explain that. And I think you also cannot explain that. But we know that he was dead for 3 days, and God the Father, through the work of the Holy Spirit, brought him back to life. He was alive again. He was being seen by the disciples. The disciples, they not only saw him, but they ate with him. They touched him. They spent 40 days with him. And after his ascension, they continue to confess that he was resurrected from the dead. And after that, they were persecuted for this truth. They arrested them, they beat them, they killed them, they made everything to stop their preaching of this gospel. But they could not deny the truth. They preferred to lose their bodies than lose their salvation. All the disciples, they suffer persecution. All of them die because they were standing by saying he was alive. They saw him ascending to heaven. And one day they will see him coming back from heaven. This is the truth of the gospel. And if we don't stand for that, we don't believe in this Jesus, and we don't believe in this gospel. The resurrection is crucial in the literature of John. He even tested the spirits in 1 John by this topic, saying, if you see an angel or a spirit or something, if you want to prove them, argue with them if they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because this is very important, crucial to the church of Christ. But we cannot explain, humanly speaking. But then, we must understand that if we believe in Jesus as the scripture says that he is, through his works and through his promise and through his gospel, we are saved forever. The doors of this kingdom were open for us. And we have access to this God, and we have access to this kingdom forever. If we die, as we will one day, we will be in the kingdom of heaven as we are right now. The difference is, here we are in the kingdom of heaven, walking in the kingdom of the man. But one day we will be in his presence. We will face his throne, a throne who any human eye can see, but there he is, and we will see him with our own eyes. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, the scripture says. And we believe in Jesus Christ, the full Jesus Christ, the full gospel of Jesus Christ, and because of this, we are part of this kingdom. But by the same time, if we reject him, Heidelberg is saying, they will not find God's mercy. This is a very difficult topic to deal with, because a lot of believers are struggling to this idea for many years now. That is why, in the beginning of the church, some believers, they invented the idea of universalism, saying that God is so much love, he has so much love in himself, and he's so good that he will not reject anyone. He will accept everyone, because his love, his only love. And since the beginning of the church, many people that say they are Christians, they are standing for this idea that God is love and he will save everything. But they are rejecting what God is also, and that is justice. God is love, but he's also justice, and he will bring justice to this world. The only way to don't find his justice and his wrath at the end is by believing Jesus Christ. And if they don't believe, the doors of the kingdom of heaven will not be open to them. It's interesting because the scriptures, it tells us about people who were walking among the church of Jesus Christ, and even so, they didn't found mercy because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ by the end. Jesus told that one day in a story, some would come to the doors of the kingdom and they will knock the door and Jesus will say, "I don't know you." Then they will say, "Okay, but we made many signs through your name. We made many wonders by your name. So you must recognize us." And then Jesus looks to them and say, "I don't know you." The doors will not be open because it's not by signs, it's not by wonders, it's not by any work, but only through the faith in Jesus Christ that we can find salvation. And until today, people are not understanding this because they think they can buy salvation through many ways. Some believe that working hard to be holy, they would find salvation. Others believe that giving good amounts of money to charity or to the church, they will buy salvation. Others are just lost and rejecting this Jesus Christ. But the fact is, by the end, if the people which will be judged doesn't have the blood of Jesus Christ upon them, they will be condemned. Eternal condemnation, Heidelberg says. They are hypocrites. They were saying good things, but they were denying Jesus as their only Savior and Lord. And because of this, God's judgment will come upon them and they will not find eternal life. This is what Heidelberg is saying. It's confessing, like John the Baptist is speaking here in verse 36, that eternal life is only for those who believe in the Son, and for everyone else, they will find justice in hell. We already spoke about hell a few weeks ago, and this is the place where those who reject Jesus Christ will be. The first hell after our death here, we will, not we, because we are believers, of course, but those who reject Jesus Christ, they will realize that they waste their lives because they reject the Son of God. They will not find mercy after their first death. And this is the first hell. They will face the truth. They will understand that the Scripture was the truth. They will see, and many are seeing right now, that God exists, His justice exists, and they reject the opportunity to find mercy. It's interesting, I remember a story of a missionary who were preaching in Africa, and a tribe, the whole tribe, was converted to Jesus Christ. And they were praising the name of the Lord after their conversion. They sang and they danced for almost 3 hours, the missionary said. But suddenly, they start to cry as babies and scream, completely lost. And the missionary was confused. What is happening here? So he went to one guy who were able to talk to him, and he asked, "What is this?" And they said, well, they just recognize that all their parents are lost because they never had the opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ, and they are not saved. They cry for more 3 hours, he said. That was something that break his heart and showed him that he should stand as a missionary earlier, but we cannot change the past. We can change the future. But suddenly they start to praise the name of the Lord again. He says that after that 3 hours, those 3 hours, they start to sing again because they realize that salvation came to their people and they were trusting in the covenant that no one else would be lost. This is the power of the gospel. When the gospel comes, salvation comes. Salvation that extends not only to ourselves, but for the next generations of believers. Our children, they are God's inheritance. They belong to Him. And this is the beauty of the gospel. Once we find Him, we will keep in His hands. But for those who reject Him, it's impossible to live a life in peace. That's the reality of this word. They believe, and a lot of people in this world today believe, after rejecting Jesus Christ, that their lives are just these that we can have right now. We can fill our bodies with food. We can rest in a good house. We can have a good car. We can make some trips. And that's all. Well, if that's all, I don't think it's worthy. It's worthy when we see what God makes on us. It's worthy when we see the power of Christ changing our lives completely. And that leads us to the second part of the knowledge of Heidelberg, because here Heidelberg will start to speak about discipline, another subject that a lot of people in church doesn't like to talk. But it's very important to every church. Discipline is one of the two most important things for church. The first one is Baptist and Lord's Supper and the sacraments. And the second one is church discipline. It's impossible to be a church without those things. But here, Heidelberg goes further, because Heidelberg is dealing with texts like Matthew 16, verses 19, in which Jesus says to his disciples, saying, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and wherever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and wherever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is a very difficult task for many believers, but it's in the scripture, and God is teaching something through these things. And Christian discipline is what we find here. At church, among the believers, we must understand that also we need to stand by the gospel. If we do not stand by the gospel, it means that we are not being part of the church. We are not being with them, united with them, in one body, with one goal, and with one mission. The church of Christ must walk in unity. First Peter speaks a lot about that, speaking about the love for one another, speaking in how they should love each other like Jesus Christ loved his enemies, which means us. He paid the price for our sins, And we must pay the price for our brothers and sisters. We should take care of them. We should love them. We should walk with them every day. But by the same time, we must call them to repentance when it's needed. And this is what Heidelberg is showing here. Part of our way being a Christian is calling Christians to shine the light of Jesus Christ. We are called to call our brothers and sisters to change their lives and to walk like Jesus Christ walked in this world. Jesus Christ even guides us in how to do that. If you see someone in church committing a sin, first you should go to this person and call him to repent. This is what Jesus says. But if they don't repent, what should we do? Jesus says, well, if they don't repent, go, call some elders, and with the elders, go to them and call them to repentance. And if they don't repent, call the whole church, call the whole body, and invite this person to repent. And if they don't repent, well, it's clear, right? They are not part of this body. Repentance is what we must do with joyful heart, with a joyful heart. It's strange to say like this, right? Because no one would like to say that I am committing a sin. This is not something that brings joy to anyone. But we must understand that it's not that we are committing a sin. The glorious thing about repentance is that God is forgiving a sinner. It's not terrible for anyone to find mercy from the hands of God. What is terrible, what is outstanding is when we don't find His mercy because we don't repent. That should not even pass in our minds, because repentance should be part of our lives every day. We should stand by those who says, I need God's mercy, I need God's glory, I need God's grace every day, and I need to change to worship His name, and sometimes we need help to do those things. We cannot do everything alone. We need the body to walk with us. I will give you an example. I never saw someone free from the sin of pornography alone. I never saw someone fighting against pornography alone and winning the battle. No one, I never heard about them. Because it's a sin that destroys your heart, your mind, and consumes you completely. If you are struggling with this, you need desperately the help of those around you. You need someone to fight with you. You need someone to walk with you through these steps. I know it's embarrassing sometimes. It's hard to confess your sin, but know that you need help. We need the help of the church. And by that, we will stand by what Heidelberg is saying. Christians, they change their way. They turn back to Jesus Christ and they walk according to His law. If we are not able to turn back, you need someone else's help to turn back. Before that, destroys everything you have. Pornography will guide you to adultery. It's adultery, but will guide you deeper in adultery, in the physical act. And that will guide you to the destruction of your family. You will destroy your children. You will destroy your wife or your husband. And how much damage you will make to everyone around you. Your friends, your family, your church. And by the end, the name of Jesus Christ, which is the most important. And I'm using just one example. How many things can destroy you and your family and your church? Discipline is needed among the congregation of the saints. This is what Heidelberg is saying. The church must stand by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we see someone committing a sin, we should come to them in love. Not to make them feel bad. Not to make them feel strange around you. But to help them to stand by the name of Jesus Christ. Because in a congregation of Jesus Christ, we should everyone shine his light. And it's not possible to see light and darkness by the same time. If you are walking in darkness, you are living in darkness. If you are a slave of your sins, you are not worshiping his name. Even if you are coming to church, even if you are giving tithes and offerings, even if you are reading the Bible sometimes, if you are a slave of your sin, you are walking in darkness. Because we are free from slavery of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that means we are free to walk as saints. I'm not saying that sanctification is not a process, because it is. We will change with time, we will change through our war against our sin, but we must do that to fulfill our mission. And the church needs to do that to fulfill the church's mission. The church cannot accept you if you want to stand with your sin. We must remember some situations in the scripture. For example, when Peter, one of the apostles in the book of Acts, he faced with the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. They brought a wrong offer, the lie to the Holy Spirit, and in front of the congregation of the saints, God took their lives. Why? Because discipline is important. And going further, what Heidelberg is saying, understanding John 16 and understanding also other texts like John 20, actually Matthew 16, John 20, verses 21 to 23, it's that by our testimony among the church of Jesus Christ, the doors of the kingdom of heaven will be closed for us. What is the meaning of this? Is it that someone was part of the body of Christ and because of their sins, God put them out and closed the doors? No. It's just that they were among us, but they were never one of us. The scripture speaks about wolves among the sheep. And that is true in every church in this world. There are always wolves trying to destroy the church. and they will stand by their sins, and they will not accept the correction of the scripture. They will not accept the exhortation of the church. They will not accept discipline. They will make damage because of their sins. And that means they were never one of us. And when the church excludes them, when the church expels them, the church is just assuming this truth to everyone. They don't stand for Christ. They have their own gods. That is happening everywhere. People are being excluded in many Reformed churches because they are saying, for example, that resurrection was a myth. Did you already hear about that? It's the same base that they use to say that Genesis 1 is a myth. It's not true. It's a poetic language, they will say. They start in Genesis, then they go to resurrection, then they go to his ascension. They will reject everything by the end because they cannot believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not allowed to accept that among the church of Christ. If you are confessing that he's not alive, you are not a believer. You should actually have courage enough to say that you are not a believer and that you have your own faith, and help the elders of the church just leaving the church. But anyway, discipline is needed, because we must understand that we stand only by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's everything for us. He's the key, and without this key, Heidelberg is saying, we are lost. The church of Jesus Christ is recognized by the gospel of Jesus Christ. What to do then after this understanding? We need some applications here. First of all, we must understand that repentance is urgent. Repentance is urgent for all of us. You don't need to have someone around you to show you your sins. I know you know your sins. Repent. Because there is no other way for you or for anyone else. We have a merciful God. We have a merciful Father. He's willing to save you from your sins. He wants to see your life change. He wants to see you free from your slavery. Repent while you can and follow Him. Follow Jesus Christ, and you will find grace and mercy, an abundant grace that will fill your heart with joy forever. But we also need to understand that as a church of Jesus Christ, we must use the tool that God gave us to open the doors of this kingdom. The two keys are preaching of the gospel and discipline. It's impressive because sometimes we don't understand the power of the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel, it's a key that will save those who repent, but also will judge those who doesn't repent. When we preach the gospel, it's not only to see someone being converted, but it's also to testify that others are rejecting the name of Jesus Christ. But if we don't preach, they will need to look to nature, as the scripture says, because nature confesses that there is a God. They cannot justify themselves, but we must understand that is our mission as the Church of Christ. Well, preach the gospel. Today you don't even need to go far away. God is bringing people for every nation of this world to your country. If you go to the streets, to a shopping mall, or to the supermarket, you find people from every part of the world. And most of them, many of them, never heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ as you know. Sometimes your best friends at work or at school, they don't know him. They never heard about him. And God called you to be in your place to preach the gospel to them. God gave you a key to bring salvation. We should use this key wisely. Paul says, preach the gospel if the time is good and if it's not good too. But just preach the gospel. Talk about his name. And of course, the other key is discipline. We must exert discipline among us. It's not only teaching your children what they should do. It's also talking with those around you if you know they are doing something against the scripture. Pay attention. It's not what you think, but it's according to the scripture of Jesus Christ. If you see someone among us that is committing a sin, it's your job to go to him and call him to repentance. Admonish is part of our mission too. If your husband or if your wife are not shining the light of Christ, you must tell him or tell her that and call her to Christ. This is part of our job. And if they don't listen to you, you must understand that you need to call help. There are men in this world, in this church, called to exert discipline here. We elect them to do that. And they are responsible to that, to following the scripture, calling someone with love and kindness to repentance. I know it's hard sometimes. Sometimes the culture says that it's not good to expose someone else's sin. But we must understand that this is the only thing that will make the church holy. The church will not be holy if a lot of people, instead of showing Christ, are showing their sins. Part of our mission, it's called them to go back to Christ. Even being hard, my friend, you must do that to please God, to please God. And may God will use discipline to glorify his own name. I call to a good friend in Brazil. He just was get out from discipline from the church. He and his wife, they had some problems, and the church disciplined them for some months. And I spoke with him because he wanted to give a testimony to the whole congregation. He was telling the congregation how grateful he was for being disciplined. Because through discipline, he changed his behavior. Through the discipline of the church, he started to love his wife, who take care of his children, guide them to Christ. He changed his life completely because of the discipline of the church. And by the end, instead of being ashamed, he was glorifying the name of the Lord and giving thanks to the church, saying, "Thank you. You helped me to save me and to save my family." Discipline is not for your bad. It's for the name, for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ, and to help you to find a way in which you will find the love of Christ. So let's work preaching, making discipline, and repenting, repentance from our sins. Let's pray and talk to our God. Our Heavenly Father, once again we face the doctrine of God through the words of the Scripture and through the words of Heidelberg. And God, we know how much we need to change to please your name and to glorify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please, God, change our lives and make us stand only for Jesus Christ and for His gospel. Help us to glorify your name in our lives with everything we have. And may we will see your name being exposed to everyone around us. And the gospel will change our church, and it will change many people who today are lost in their sins. Please, God, use this church to spread your gospel.